The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2014 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of eight recordings from the retreat called Suffering and the End of Suffering, taught by Bridget Rollins and John Yaffe. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget co-leads the St. Louis Insight Meditation Group, teaches classes, and leads retreats. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. He has served on the board of directors of Mid-America Dharma since 2005 and currently serves as its president. More information about Bridget and John can be found at www.dharmastl.org.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed your first walk. I'm going to be giving instructions that are a little different for our second sitting, but first I have a little exercise for you. I'm going to ring the bell, and I want you to pay attention to the sound and raise your hand when the sound of the ringing is completely gone from your awareness. Very good. Now, as teacher, I get to say who was right. Actually, I think it's still vibrating. We've been mentioning, starting last night and continuing, this issue of aiming the attention and sustaining the attention. The quality of awareness that you brought to this task of saying, is the sound still present? Now, is it still present now? Is it still present now? That is sustained attention. I've become aware or more sensitive recently to the importance of the distinction between these two. They are actually two different mental factors. And it's important that we cultivate both of them in a dynamic and flexible manner. I want to give you an example from a different realm of my existence of what I mean by this. I have a house that has vinyl siding. I don't know who put it up. It was there when I bought the house. But there is a sheet of vinyl at the very top of one side of the house that repeatedly falls off. And I see it on the ground, and I repeatedly go, ugh. And then I repeatedly get my ladder out of the garage, and I've gotten very good at taking it up and positioning it and then moving the ladder, making sure it's snug on one side, then moving the ladder again, making sure it's snug on the other, and then I walk away from it. And the next time a wind comes up, it blows down again. So what I realize is that I've gotten very good at the aiming and attaching part of the effort, but haven't yet figured out, well, I just figured out a day or so ago, I need to do something to make that sucker stick up there and stay. So I've gotten very good at the aiming part, the vikara, as it is called. I'm no good at all at vichara, and I need to do a little research. I need to go online and say, how do you get vinyl siding to stick up? Do you glue it? Do you nail it? What do you do? At a recent retreat with Shyla Catherine, she said this very sweet thing about the way the mind works. What she said was that there are times when all we can do is form an intention and hand it over to the mind to find a solution that we'd have no idea intellectually how to achieve. And that's equivalent to me going to Google and looking up how to make the vinyl stay. I need to recognize that sticking is an issue. Placing it is not an issue. I've gotten very good at that, but making it stick is something that I myself don't know how to do, but if I form the intention, I will, by condition training, look it up on Google, and I will find the answer, and I'll be able to figure that out. So the nature of our practice is that the mind often drifts. You will have noticed this, I'm sure. The mind drifts away, and by virtue of the fact that we're practicing at all, we have to pick up the attention and bring it back to the breath or whatever we're focusing on. And we think of that as the busyness of the practice. But we don't cultivate enough sensitivity to the fact that there is a second quality of effort in the sustaining. And we can actually get better at that. And if we do more of that, we'll have to do less of the other because we won't drift away as often. So it's like working out with weights and deciding I only have to work with one arm. And what you wind up with, you know, you get this killer arm on this side and this arm can't do anything. We need to establish balance in our practice. And the beginning of that is just the sensitivity that that balance is missing. So hopefully you'll find those comments helpful. As we heard earlier, the first foundation of mindfulness looks to the body to direct experience of sensations arising from the body, and it also looks to our thoughts, views, and identification with the body. We look at these objects of physicality, aspects of physicality, and our attitudes toward physicality in order to see through the enchantment that we have with the body, and thus free ourselves from a huge category of delusion, attachment, and ultimately suffering. The second foundation of mindfulness is awareness of the feeling tones that accompany sensations. Feeling tones, as Bridget mentioned, are not the full-blown emotions we often refer to as feelings in our day-to-day conversation, but rather they are the simple building blocks that define the quality of our experience. When we see an object, hear a sound, taste some food, and so forth, we invariably find the experience pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Feeling tones accompany all awareness, and thus not only do they apply to sensations, but to whatever arises in awareness, including our mental formations, such as perceptions, thoughts, and emotions. We are deeply conditioned to crave, seek, and grasp whatever we find pleasant, to avoid, reject, or even destroy whatever we find unpleasant, and to discount the significance of what we find neutral. Feeling tones are thus the fundamental stuff from which we may react or to which we may react with greed, hatred, and delusion, the three poisons from which suffering arises. If we cultivate mindfulness of feeling tone, that mindfulness can break up these conditioned patterns of reactivity, and thus we can become free of the three poisons. So, in this sitting, we'll focus on cultivating awareness of the second foundation. We will take feeling tones as our object of concentration. So let's get into our concentration postures. Set our note-taking aside. Trust the mind. You will remember what you need to remember. So, as before, begin by moving your attention to the body. As you tune into direct experience of hearing, touch, awareness of body position, and so forth, notice as well any qualities of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling tones that arise at the same time. For example, what is the feeling tone associated with your hearing my voice and the fact that I'm giving new and different instructions? If you adjust your posture at all, what feeling tones arise in that process. For example, here, do you notice a sense of anything unpleasant in the way your body feels that leads you to make an adjustment? Do the adjustments you make lead to the arising of more pleasant feelings? Mindfully investigate these, both the cause and the effect and the action. Do these feelings last, or are they fleeting? And you might reflect that if they are fleeting, in and of themselves, what does this say about our tendency to chase or avoid them? Notice any neutral feelings that may arise. How do you perceive and hold these in awareness? Do they stay neutral, or is there a tendency for perception to tilt slightly in the direction of pleasant or unpleasant from the neutral? Can you maintain awareness of these, or does attention wander away? Do you judge neutral experiences as uninteresting or boring? Now let's direct attention to the breath, moving your attention to the place where you experience sensations of breathing most clearly, and sustaining attention on that spot as best you can, becoming a clear, seeing, steady observer. Notice what feeling tones arise from instant to instant as you move the attention to the breath, as you establish sustained attention, and as awareness of the flow of breath fills the mind. If, when, the attention is drawn or drifts away, notice the feeling tone of being drawn or drifting. What feeling tones arise when you awaken and realize the mind has drifted? When you decide to move the attention back to the breath? What feeling tones arise as you reestablish your position as steady observer? And so forth. As you continue to sit, try to be aware of the flow of feeling tones and any tendencies you may have to react to these.